So then you came out of the Army in January 1959.
Yes, I got discharged in January 59.
Then what?
Well, I had no idea what I was going to do, so I contacted family friends, the Thralls, who I'd worked for a couple summers at their railroad manufacturing plant. They gave me a job, which I thought was going to be in Chicago, but they had owned a company in Indiana, oil equipment company, and they transferred me over to the oil equipment company in Indianapolis.
And how did that work out?
Well, it was a job, but it really didn't, wasn't very exciting. I was working in an office selling oil equipment to service stations, jacks, lifts, lube equipment and everything, and it just, like I said, wasn't very exciting. And then in the spring, 1959, there was a vote in Oklahoma, and the people voted to go wet.
What does that mean, go wet?
Well, they decided they would legalize liquor. I had remembered that when I lived in Palos Heights when I was in grade school, a couple that lived behind us, Sandy and Ann Dawson, he had worked for Four Roses Distillery. So I was able to trace Sandy Nan down, and he was state manager of National Distillers for the state of Arkansas, and I called him, and he remembered me, and I asked him if there was going to be an opening with National Distillers in Oklahoma, and he said yes, and a man by the name of Jack Hansen lived in Iola, Kansas, was going to be promoted to the state manager, and he would try to set me up with an interview.
So that would mean then you'd become a sales rep?
Yes, a salesman. I was able to set up an interview with Mr. Hansen, so I went back to Veneta. My mother and dad helped me buy a used car. I might mention when I got out of the Army, I only had $500, and I didn't have a car in Indianapolis. So driving up to Iola for the interview, and I was running a little bit late, and I called Mr. Hansen and told him I was going to be late, and later I realized that helped me with the interview, to call him and tell him I was going to be late.
Yep.
I interviewed with Jack. I got to Iola, and I went to Jack's house, and I met his wife, Ann, and his two daughters, and he interviewed me, and he told me he'd get back with me in a few days. He called me in a few days and told me that he was going to hire me to be his assistant for Eastern Oklahoma, and he was also going to hire another person for Oklahoma and Western Oklahoma. So I started out, my salary was $500 a month, a company car, and three cases of liquor for samples.
What was it? What kind of liquor?
Well, it was every kind that we sold. We sold all the major brands of bourbon at that time. Old Granddad, Old Taylor, Old Crow. We had Gilby's Gin, and we had French wines and the Kuiper's Cordials. The first few months, we actually, I was able to go up to Kansas and tour all the wholesale liquor companies up there. And we also went to Joplin. There were five wholesale liquor companies in Joplin at that time, which later, after Oklahoma went wet, why, there was only one left. So that kind of gives you an idea how much liquor was coming out of Joplin. One of the bootleggers in Veneta, Alfred Woodard, actually was getting his liquor out of Cairo, Illinois, and he could drive the back roads from Cairo to Veneta. Well, what we had National Distillers fill up different liquor bottles with iced tea, and Jack and I toured Oklahoma and went to towns like Muskogee, and we'd set up in a hotel a kind of a dummy liquor store, and we invited people that thought they were going to be in the retail business to come in, and we showed them, you know, how to set up a liquor store and tried to give them information about where to locate different products in the store.
So this was all before the laws had actually been
written. This is, well, the law had been passed, but the legislature was writing the law. So we spent 3 months in 1959 in Oklahoma City watching the legislature write the laws, and Senator Shoemaker from Muskogee was head of the Senate committee, and there was a problem with everybody in the state was telling their local representative what should be in the law or not in the law, and a lot of the ministers at that time were telling their legislators, you know, what would be in there. Of course, they were trying to make it harder for the law to really work, and there was a man by the name of Ross McClendon that came out of state, and he had SANE, Sooner Alcoholic Narcotics Education. And Ross McClendon just, he'd go on and on and on how terrible and sinful liquor was. Well, one time, he and his wife were in St. Louis at a convention, and he was caught down on the Mississippi River in a lot of these bars, and his excuse was he was doing research. It made the Daily Oklahoman. Of course, after we went wet, he ended up leaving Oklahoma and going, moving someplace else. But it was really interesting to watch the process of the how the laws were written. 1949 is when Kansas went wet. So they decided they'd take the Kansas law 10 years later and pattern the Oklahoma law after Kansas. But there were things in the Kansas law that they didn't put in the Oklahoma law, which caused problems down the road even to this day.
Can you cite any of that problems?
One of the things that happened was that prior to the election, when they were writing the bill for the people to vote on, Howard Edmondson was governor at that time, and Joe Cannon was his enforcement officer, safety officer. And Joe Cannon actually shut down all the bootleggers in 1959 at the beginning, before there was a vote. And none of the bootleggers had any liquor. It was completely shut off. And that's one reason why the people voted wet in April of 59. Was because of Joe Cannon.
Well, as I understand it, Edmondson, Governor Edmondson, he actually wanted it to go wet, I believe.
Yes, yes.
And so he decided, well, I'm going to enforce these rules now.
He told Joe Cannon was his enforcement officer to shut it down. Kind of interesting, Edmondson and Joe Cannon were from Muskogee, and they were also Phi Gams.
Okay.
Joe Cannon was the pledge trainer, I guess, when they were in college together. Mm-hmm. And I guess he was a pretty tough pledge trainer. And when they were writing the laws, Denny Garrison, senator from Bartlesville, said, if I had known that Edmondson and Cannon were going to run the state, he said, I probably wouldn't have got into politics. But Denny Garrison was a Republican, of course, from Bartlesville, but he was very well liked by the Democrats, which controlled everything in those days.
And I've interviewed Denny Garrison, and so we'll be able to listen to his story here on voicesofoklahoma.com. And so, yeah, and so the people were so uncomfortable with living the way you should live in Prohibition that it forced them to say, hey, we need to vote for making the state wet.
Yes, at the time it went wet, I think there were just two states in the country, Oklahoma and Mississippi, that were dry.